Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Have you ever noticed how quickly we label suffering as a problem to be solved rather than a gift to be understood? Yeah, Jimmy.
Are you reading? Why?
You can tell.
What?
This is Wretched Radio. I asked the AI machine to write a 1-minute radio introduction for a segment that teaches about the blessings of suffering based on 1 Peter 1. Guess what? It killed it. Mm. It really did. There is nothing in here that I would see a need to change. Now, I know that this is really framed well because I've been buried in 1 Peter 1 now for a couple of months. Nothing is wrong. In fact, it's done really well. But how would you feel if all I did was read AI? Because we could do this all day. In fact, here, I'm going to do this. Turn that into 10 minutes. Boink. There it goes. Now let's just see what it does. 3, 4. Okay, it's done. Absolutely. Here's a 10-minute radio teaching built from that intro. Paced for spoken delivery and warm pastoral radio tone. I can't do that. You can trim or pause for music as needed. Here we go. And it's still going. It's writing it. Have you ever noticed how quickly we label suffering as a problem to be solved rather than a gift to be understood? When something hurts, our instinct is to escape it, explain it away, ask God to remove it as fast as possible. And to be clear, Scripture never tells us that pain is pleasant or that hardship should be ignored, but it does tell us something surprising. Suffering can be meaningful. It can even be a blessing. I got to tell you, I basically wrote something like that, but not as well. It was really just a talking point to show the blessings of suffering, that instead of going, this is not to be stoic, but this is just to demonstrate how we should be reframing suffering. Instead of going, suffering, bad, I don't want any of it. If we understand God's use of suffering rightly, we should be able to. I'm not saying that it's like right to do it, but we should be able to say, Lord, I'd like some more suffering so that I can be more refined into the image of your Son, so that I can be holy like you're holy. So please, refiner's fire, bring it, because I want to be purified as fast as possible. Now, it's simply to make a point. Suffering, persecution is good for us. It's always good for us. Do I think that we should be begging God for more suffering? No, that's silly, because there is an alternative. Purify yourself. Don't make God turn up the blast furnace to refine you as pure gold. Do it yourself. Stop sinning. Do the things that he commands you to do, knowing it is always a joy to do so. You don't have to go through the refiner's fire. And so I wouldn't ever say that, but that point is accurate. And it actually just said it with AI. Now, I'm just scrolling down. Turns it into 10 minutes. This is just a human. This is better than what most humans would do. And I'm telling you, pastors are already doing this. So my question for you is, let's advance the conversation. If you knew that your pastor were doing nothing but what I just did with AI, how would you feel about that? That's what he does on Sunday. He just gets up there and delivers that. Now, I'm not a good reader, so I struggle to make this sound like it's natural. But is it possible that if we don't say particular things about the limits of AI, there will be pastors who are really good at taking an AI manuscript and delivering it like, whoa, that was amazing. And it becomes a new seminary class on homiletics. It doesn't teach you how to divide the word. It doesn't teach you anything about expositional preaching because you don't need it. All the homiletics class will be about is how you can read it well. Or maybe there'll be an ancillary class that teaches you how to program AI well to make the best sermon possible. That's a skill set. It is a skill set. If you've never played with AI before, you get better at telling it what to do to get the outcome that you're looking for. If I wanted to, I could put instructions in here. No, I want you to make this less pastoral and more authoritative and rebuking. Boink. Done. Just like that. Because that pastor knows in his congregation that he's got people that are whinging a lot. And so he's really got to, he's got to bring some heat and tell them to just knock off the complaining and whining and see suffering differently. Boom. There it is. Now, that's a skill set to do that. Granted, I'm not sure how long it takes to learn that, but nevertheless, less time than studying Hebrew and Greek. I know that. But then what needs to happen for the pastor to be an effective pastor in the 21st century? He needs to be able to deliver it. And so homiletics classes will turn in nothing but drama classes. Your pastor's going to become an actor. Here's what your pastor isn't going to become: more godly. That's because he's not doing this. He's not in 1 Peter. He's letting AI do everything for him. And you know what? If I weren't immersed in 1 Peter at the moment, I would read this. And do you know what it would actually mean to me? Very little. Very little. It's like, because I'm just reading something. It's good stuff. I'll take you back to the 1 minute introduction. Today's segment invites us to slow down and listen to a surprising truth from 1 Peter chapter 1. Okay. See, this is why I'm terrible at this, but I guess this could be another homiletics class. How to turn AI content into your very own. All right. So I'm going to do that, Jimmy. Ready? I'll see if I possess that skill. Hey. I know you're zooming everywhere. Just slow down. This might shock you a little bit, but 1 Peter 1, get ready for this. As hard as life might be right now, they're actually disguised blessings. How'd I do? That pretty good? Huh? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was great.
I made it my own. Mm-hmm. Means nothing to me because I haven't wrestled with the text. And the pastor that does nothing but get trained to train AI is not going to wrestle with the text. And that text, therefore, is not going to have the impact on him. The text is going to be dead letter. So your pastor isn't going to be growing in holiness. But I'm telling you, if we let this thing just take over the pulpit, pastoral ministry is going to change. Furthermore, you're in the hospital and I come visit you. Is this what you want from your pastor? Hey, tell me how you're feeling exactly about the upcoming operation. Hold on. I'm just booting up here. A little bad signal. Hold on. Okay, go ahead. You're kind of scared. Uh-huh. Hold on. You read some things online that indicate the odds aren't as good as you want them to. Okay, question. Do you like Bible verses being quoted directly or just kind of paraphrased? Okay, just like that. Uh-huh. All right, Psalms. Do you have a feeling about the Psalms? Okay. Or do you prefer more didactic, like from the epistles? Okay, got it. So I'll just say Romans. Okay. All right, here we go. My beloved friend, there is no need to fear. The Psalms tell us that we should fear God. Therefore, we do not need to fear anything in the future. We do not need to be like the pagans, which, by the way, Peter alluded to in 1 Peter 1. Your empty life, your pagan life, your uneducated life, where you had no knowledge about what was wicked, just the total vapid nature of our existence. That's gone. That's gone. You're in Christ. You've got a new life. You've got a new mind. Sorry, that was me.
Yeah, you became human. Stop. You can't.
Yeah, sorry about that. The let me get back to my script. As you're lying in your bed. Oh, okay, here comes the nurse. You know what? That's okay. Because I can tighten this up. Too many sentences. Bring it down. I think that I'm losing their attention. Is that what we want? No, of course not. But I do fear that if pastors become nothing but programmers and presenters, we're gonna lose the warm shepherding nature of being a pastor. This content is actually really good. Listen to the writing to believers facing real pressure and persecution. Peter doesn't minimize their pain. Instead, he reframes it. That's really actually very good. Okay. It's just not mine. And it's not natural. And I learn nothing. And I'm not being sanctified by it. And now the only thing that I need to do is deceive you into thinking that it came from me, because I don't think humans are ever going to be content going, you know what? AI really killed it this morning. I'm telling you, that AI sermon just crushed it. And my pastor's acting skills are getting better and better all the time. Is AI going to take over Christianity? No. No, it's not. This is... Wait a second. This is Wretched. This is Wretched Radio. This is Wretched.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at FortisPlus.org, because real men know when they need real help. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine, but somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem, because the local church is the institution that Jesus promised to build. It's not an afterthought, it's the plan. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We exist to strengthen local churches, not replace them. Everything we create, our podcasts, our videos, all of our resources and teaching, it's all designed to be useful to pastors and small group leaders and church members who want to grow. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support helps us create content that equips the saints and strengthens the body of Christ. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at FortisInstitute.org. Help us be a part of something that serves the local church. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to FortisPlus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us. and he is a source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And another thing, this is Wretched Radio, the limits of AI. We need to recognize it definitely has limitations. It also has some abilities to really cause human harm, specifically when it comes to work. When you have AI doing research for you, you don't need research assistants. You don't need paralegals. You don't need young lawyers going through the books. You got something better. You got AI. So all of that can be displaced. Gulp. There are some scary components to AI indeed. And yet, I don't think that it is the horror that some people are presenting it as. I just don't think that it's going to displace humanity. It's certainly not going to kick God off of his throne. They gave it their best go in Genesis in building a tower to displace God from his throne to show we're the ones who reign here. And he dispersed them. That's not going to happen. It can't happen. AI isn't more powerful than God. Having said that, we better start getting ready. It's already happened. This is going on in your church. This is going on in your church. Your pastor has access to AI. Is he letting it do his job that only he can do? Furthermore, if he ain't doing his job and he's leaning on AI, he can't do something that only human beings can do. Read the room. When you're speaking, you read a room. Good speakers are aware. They're taking note of the audience. They're looking at them. What kind of response are they getting? People leaning in, they looking kind of bored. Are you seeing some head snap? Are you maybe seeing some head shaking? What's going on out there? AI can't adjust for that. It can't read a room. It can't read faces. You know, I guess at some point AI can have some sort of facial recognition where it can tell somebody's frowning. Okay. So then I guess on the stage, we're going to have a camera that goes to AI so it can just go read your face and then rewrite the script before the pastor gets to it. But uh-oh, he hasn't practiced his lines. Well, we'll get that worked out. But the point is, it can't do what only a human being can do. Furthermore, let me just try something in here. I'm going to the AI machine right now. Because they did a nice job, believe it or not, on putting together a 10-minute teaching on the suffering that Peter sees and how he addresses it in 1 Peter 1. And it kicks something out that's really good. But now I'm going to ask it to make it more expositional. Click, push the button. Got it. We'll lean clearly expository, text-driven and structured, so the passage itself does the teaching. Below is a 10-minute expository radio segment that walks verse by verse through 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. This is amazing. All right, let's just see what it's got for us. Today, we're in 1 Peter 1. Am I sounding natural, Jimmy? I'm trying. I'm a terrible reader. You can always, when I read, you know it.
Both of us.
And even when it's my writing, I just, can't do it. Today, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Our focus is on what this passage teaches about suffering, specifically how suffering functions within the life of a believer. Rather than approaching the topic philosophically or emotionally, Peter approaches it theologically. He explains suffering in the light of salvation, hope, and God's purpose. Okay, so far, this is horrible exposition. It doesn't have an introduction. There's no reason for me to listen. It's not introducing the topic. Well, it does a little bit. Suffering in light of salvation, hope, and God's purpose. Okay, that's a good thing to do in your introduction. Here's the big words that we're going to be focusing on throughout this sermon. That just brings unity to a sermon. And the introduction should be unified with the proposition that is being presented. And notice I said singular proposition. Multiple points, one proposition. This does that, but it's a snooze. Why would I listen to this? Furthermore, let me just share with you this. This is geeking out a little bit, but this is what it did with turning this into expository preaching. Did you feel how dry it got? Did you sense that? Let me read the original, all right? The first one that I asked for. See if it feels different than what you just heard. Have you ever noticed how quickly we label suffering as a problem to be solved rather than a gift to be understood? Now, this is an intro. When something hurts, our instinct is to escape it, explain it away, or ask God to remove it as fast as possible. Do you feel how it's like, okay, this is personal. What I asked for with exposition, it's like dry toast with no butter and certainly no jam on it. It's like, okay, here we go. We're going to do a verse-by-verse study of 1 Peter. Now, that's getting the meat out of the verse, but I don't think that's preaching. Seriously. And is personalizing it, making it less impactful or more impactful? I don't know if you hear it as much as I do, but this expository presentation is so dry. Today, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Our focus is on this passage that teaches us about suffering, specifically how suffering functions within the life of a believer. Abstract, out the esoteric, generalized. Go back to the original introduction that it gave. It communicates the same information. But honestly, I'm more interested in this. When something hurts, our instinct is to escape it, explain it away, ask God to take it away as fast as he can. But scripture never tells us pain is pleasant or that hardship should be ignored. But it does tell us something surprising. Suffering can be meaningful. It can even be a blessing. Do you feel the difference? Now, that is as expositional as it needs to be. In the more generalized one that I just read to you, it gets into, I see it quoting, in verses 3-5, Peter bursts into praise. He says God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That was actually 2 or 3 sermons at Alpharetta Bible Church, but nevertheless. It dives into it a little bit, but if you go to the expository presentation that it did for us, just this is what it says. Let's begin in verse 3. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I think it's great that it actually quoted the Bible. The other one told you what the Bible said. This one actually read it to you. I like that. Before Peter addresses suffering, he begins with praise. This is significant. Praise is not the result of favorable circumstances here. It is the response to what God has done in salvation. Peter grounds everything that follows in God's character and action. That's actually really good. So now, let me move from the comparison from these two presentations courtesy of AI. What I'm reading so far, it's spot on. I don't think it's great, but it's not a mess. And a pastor can put that in. Just, I was doing it while I was talking to you. Just a couple of clacks. Boink. There it is. And I could have come on the radio today and I could have just read this and kind of, you know, made it sound a little bit more natural, but it wouldn't be me. And you say, Friel, we don't care about you. I get that. It wouldn't be human. Do you really just want to have a relationship with a computer? That's why these commercials, you've seen them. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. It's targeting seniors who don't perhaps have the stamina to deal with an actual live dog. So they've created an AI dog. It looks at you like, hey, throw the bone for me. And you get to pet it and it feels, okay. Is that what we want? Is that really? That's replacing an actual human, an actual dog being? They're building robots to replace your spouse. Okay. So let's just say your spouse can do stuff and doesn't make a mess. Isn't that how's about this? Your new robot spouse always closes the cabinet doors whenever they take something out of the cabinets in the kitchen.
You talking to me?
Maybe. So here's a question for you. You can be married to a robot who never makes a mess. Who always closes the cabinet doors in the kitchen, who needs just very little maintenance and can have conversations with you on the couch, can do those things. Do you want to replace Mrs. Hicks with that?
No.
Why? No. Just because you can't enjoy a sunset, just because you can't actually experience the trials and the travails that married couples go through, that you can't experience the joys of seeing your kids do something great, just because you can't have babies together, just because you can't be intimate together, just because you can't do meals together, just because you can't get to know a human being on such a profoundly deep level. You don't want to trade all of that for a robot?
No.
My point exactly. They can do some stuff, but they can't do human. And that is why I'm not scared of it, but I'm not going to be naive about it. And I'm not going to be oblivious. I fear what this is going to do for the ability for people to make a living, temporarily or long term. That has some dangers. I also think there's some dangers for pastors to become pretenders. But do I think that AI is going to displace humans? Absolutely not. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.